You turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Really need the Lord to help me this morning. Pray for my voice. I am to help preach the funeral today for Brother Billy's father. And I'd like to keep my voice be able to speak at that funeral. And I really pray for you to pray, God, help me to speak at that funeral. Amen. Feel the Holy Ghost in my soul. Appreciate the presence of God that's in this building. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse number 22, the word of God said, and Samuel said, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is idolatry, as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Chapter 17. Verse 37 said, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. As far as I want to read right there on that verse, same chapter. I want you to look at this here. The Bible said, then said David to the Philistine, verse 45. Let's back up to verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defilest. This day, don't you pay attention, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. May God help me. I want to preach on Saul's fear and David's confidence. Saul's fear and David's confidence. Would you stretch your hands this way one more time and ask the Lord to help us? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. I'm asking you to help us. I'm asking you to touch us right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, come down in this service. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story that I have felt impressed of the Holy Ghost to read to you and to talk to you about this morning, I felt divinely led of the Spirit of God this morning, praying, asking the Lord what to do. I even sat down, I want you to hear me, I even sat down this morning and began to write notes on something else. But I kept drawing back to this one point that I felt God begin to deal with me about. And that's all I know to do is just give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me to give to you. Amen. The story of Saul is probably one of the greatest stories that's ever been written as God dictates him to be a chosen man of God. Out of all the writ of God's word and out of all the comparisons, there is nothing more striking than God to catch a man who wasn't even anticipating becoming a king or becoming a chosen anointed of God. And God says, I pick you, I chose you. But it is not only just the highlights of a grand story. It is a story of confidence gone overboard. It is a story of a man who felt in himself that because of who he was, he had power to obtain his own choice. It felt within himself that experience and power was greater than the knowledge of trusting in the leadership of God. Oh, that's not sound like a lot of the lives of men and women that are around us. It is the tragedy of all tragedies. It is confidence rather than confidence of God. Amen. Self-made confidence will make a fool out of a man. But confidence in God will make a soldier of the cross. Oh, that God would help us to realize and to see at the hour that we live in that men oftentimes suffer things in their life because of the simple fact that they trusted in themselves. Oh, you got to admit with me, and I know it's morning and I know it's gloomy outside, but oh, you've got to admit with me that much of the sufferings of our life, put a little hoping y'all could hear it, and what's much of the sufferings of our life, it is the most tragic of tragedy if we would tell the honest truth that the problem of our suffering is that we have felt that we were strong enough to handle it without God, handle it without a church, handle it without a preacher, handle it without a Bible. Can I tell you in this building that the devil will love to operate in the form of self to destroy your own self? Hey, hey, hey. I reckon it's just got to be camp meeting blues. Hey, man. There's such a problem that we have that we don't want to reckon with. And that is that we are not smart enough to handle the devil. We feel like we are. We feel like we're strong enough. We're smart enough. And we are able enough to do it. But the tragedy is that there is a peril to self-confidence. And that peril is that the enemy will lie to you, tell you that in spite of all that is going on in your life, that you are better than failure.
Amen. And failure's not even on the Richter scale of your life. And failure doesn't mean anything to you. It's just not going to happen. Can I tell you, out of all of the sufferings of life, if you could read the stories of failure in the lives of some men, I'll tell you the number one thing that they say above all when recognizing failure: I never anticipated that this would happen to me, or this would befall into my life. But can I tell you, in this house, man without God is a failure. Can I tell you, in this house, man without the help of the Lord is a failure.
Hey, honey, anything going right? Hey, man, no need to say all that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, it is such a tragic thing to watch a life that could have been to a life become a has-been. It's a sad ordeal to watch a man or to watch a woman who richly could have been high places in God, but they allowed themselves to be destroyed by the opportunity of their own life. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Pride is what got Satan out of heaven, and pride is what's going to keep you out. Look in this face of mine. No man in this building, no individual in this house will testify of an honesty. They'll say, I got some pride, but you don't know how damnable that pride is. You don't know how destructive that pride is.
You're not even aware of how it's killing you. You're not even aware how it's destroying your life. I'm going to preach a little different right here. Sin will make you feel strong in the flesh while it confidence the flesh, and it makes the flesh feel invincible. I've come to talk to somebody right here. Have you ever heard anybody say, oh no, it ain't going to take place in my life? This is not going to happen. I mean, we got a little backset here. We got a little problem here. We got a little situation here we can't handle. But we're going to get through it with God nowhere in the picture. The Bible nowhere in the picture. No praying nowhere in the picture. Can I tell you that when Saul heard the call from the master that said, I'm going to make you a king, it was first humbling. It was first commitment. It was first that he said, yes, God, I'll do what you say. But it was the tragedy in the palace that got a hold of his heart and said, just Saul, you ain't got to bend to nobody. You ain't got to pay attention to nobody.
You've been through enough. You've been in it long enough. You've handled life long enough. You don't have to listen to nobody. It is the most sad picture that could be painted of a falsified conscience that lies to an individual and says to the person, failure cannot happen. You're too smart for failure. I'm going to preach a little different right here, because I'm telling you right now, if I've ever felt God, I tell you what I had planned to preach. I was going to preach on when God makes ravens servants. Amen. But I felt God deal with me this morning and said, you can't preach that now. I want you to tell somebody that their confidence is about to drive them overboard. Amen.
What are you trying to say, preacher? I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. It is the terrible irony that while David was keeping sheep, Saul was playing in the palace. While David was saying, yes, Lord, on the backside of a desert, Saul was building his strength. Saul was telling Saul, you're a king. You're better than this. I preach to you in this house and tell you that there is a tragedy that comes to a man in a high seat. There is a tragedy that befalls a man when he feels like I have nothing to fear. Fear will make you humble, while confidence in self will make you nauseous to others. What Saul could not see was that while he was broadcasting his strength, God was becoming sick of Saul. While Saul was holding the cords to his own power of choice, God was turning loose of Saul and shaking Saul off, because Saul shook God off. Come on here now. Come on now. I've watched men as you stand and tell them, if there's anything that I just about, and I wish some of you parents would be honest with me. I mean, have you ever just stood and tried to talk to Corbin about life and him, how old is he, 19? Almost 19. Have you ever stood and tried to talk to him about life? And I mean, down to Nathan, 13, 14, 15, whatever he is. And he look at you and say, I know. I already know. I wonder how many times would Samuel the prophet have come by the palace and begin to preach to Saul. But there was somewhere inside of Saul, he shut out the preacher. He shut out the Bible. He shut out the Holy Ghost. He shut out the Spirit. I don't have to have it. I'm talking about the Rabbahaya. I'm smart enough. I want to tell you, your demise in your own trouble. Your demise in your own sinking of life. What he could not see was what in the rims of his own brain, he wasn't strong enough to outwit the devil. The devil never sets a man up on a low seat and makes him look up. He always sets him up on a high seat to make him look down. But the tragedy is that while he looks down, he is not familiar with the route of humbleness. So he falls headlong into his own trouble. I'm going to preach a little bit this morning. It's going to take me a little time to get there. The sin of Saul wasn't the kingdom. The sin of Saul was in Saul. It was a torment in himself. There is a place where a man can reach, where he'll shut out conscience and turn the light of God off in his own soul. There is a place that an individual can reach that when they decide, I'll think my way through this, I'll pull my way through this. Come on now. I've been in pulling contests before. I'll come through this. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't. Yeah, I feel like God's dealing with me. Have you ever heard anybody say, you just watch and see. It's going to work out. I don't need you. I don't need them. I don't need nobody. I wonder sometimes, how much more does God have to do to get us to realize he's reading the story of our lives? Oh, that God would help us to realize that your enemy is not life, it's you. Your enemy's yourself. Your enemy is your own doings. Hell makes a man feel he is strong, confident. But look at confidence. It's a little different here. But you look at confidence and listen to what confidence says. Self-confidence speaks in volumes that illuminates the strength of man while leaves God completely out of the equation. And small turn victories makes us feel like God is on our side. Amen. Something works out, and immediately we begin to feel like, well, maybe God's for me, just like I am. God's for me just like I felt God the other day. But that doesn't mean God's satisfied with you. Now I'm going to preach a little bit right here, and it's going to get a little tight. It's going to get a little tight. I'm going to preach a little bit right here. You can't tell me that Samuel, before Saul's greatest battle, never went to the palace, never went to the man and told him, heard him preach. It was customary that the prophet and the king were to be together for the safety of the kingdom and for the nation. So you can't tell me on the Lord's day when Samuel went to preach, Saul wasn't sitting in the crowd somewhere and he heard Samuel talk about the power of God, the obedience of God, the giving of yourself to God. But the tragedy is somewhere he began to realize, I don't have to listen to that preacher. I ain't got to listen to what he says. Oh, I got to jump a little bit before I can get where I want to go. At the end of the story, can I jump over there right quick? At the end of the story, what confidence lied in? Listen to the confession. Came out of the self-confidence. I have sinned against God and thy words. I'm telling you, in this building, you've got to understand, you're not strong enough, you're not able enough. It is the low route, it is the humble route, it is the submitted route that gets the favor of God. I've watched men as they turned their face away from correction. And I've watched their lives become total chaos. This is going to be the shocker of the preaching. And I'll pull it by myself right here. This is going to be the shocker of the preaching. Saul was in the kingdom. Saul was chosen by God. Saul had the favor of God at one time. But Saul's on the outside of God this time. And the tragedy is when God leaves you in your place for your own failure. Is when God doesn't move you out of the kingdom, but lets you fall inside of the kingdom. The tragedy is that God tries to woo and to pull. But the confidence of man says, I can make it. I can make it. So sorry to put you to sleep. I'm strong enough. I'm able enough. I don't have to listen to nobody. I wonder how many services went by where God spoke directly to Saul. And Saul walked out like Saul. I wonder how many meetings went by. The Holy Ghost came in and conviction fell like it did during camp meeting. And some of my people that I knew were being preached to. I never saw you hit the altar. I saw you never break out of your pew and took off running and screaming and hollering, God, that's me! I need help. I need God to get to me before I make a mess in my life. And before so I destroy everything in my life. And before everything I've ever hoped for. And before everything I ever desire is completely gone in my life. I gotta get help. It never came to Saul that you're gonna be down and you're not gonna get up from where you get down at. It is so sad that we reach a place sometimes in our life that it takes a bruise and a blunt. It takes a kick and a knockdown for us to realize, God, you're talking to me. God, you're dealing with me. Hear me in this building preach to you. I don't want a hospital bed. I don't want a visitation to the funeral home. I don't need a car wreck. I don't need nobody visiting and warning me. I want to hear it for myself. It is a sad story where confidence becomes a liability instead of an asset. Liability insurance is only intended never to cover you. If you can't afford the full coverage, they come out with a policy that says liability. It leaves you out of the picture. Boy, I feel like preaching. And I know I'm not screaming 90 miles an hour right now. I'm trying to save my voice. But you hear me in this building. Liability was only intended to cover someone else. I feel the Holy Ghost with me. Cover somebody else. And God spoke to my heart. God spoke this to my heart. If I don't say nothing else that sinks into your life, let me sink this in there for you that are trusting. The tragedy in the lives of others, God carries the liability policy. He'll protect you against them. Amen. How is it, preacher? I'll tell you why. Ain't it sad to watch a preacher fall? Ain't it sad to watch a home be destroyed? Ain't it sad to watch a life be cast down? But then somehow or another, you limp back over to the past, and you get to realizing God's got a church that's moving on in spite of the failure, in spite of the shame. God's got a strong family. Daddy may have got out, but Mama and the kids are going on. Daddy may have chose a different highway, but it just somehow or another, God's got the family under liability policy. I'm going to take care of them. I want to tell somebody in this house, you demise to destroy, but God has carried the protection over His own kingdom. He'll watch after His baby. He'll watch after His children. Hell can't destroy what God has already designed to protect. You can't kill what God, you can't torment what God has chosen to keep. The lion in the cage may roar, but he can't destroy because the cage keeps him. And there are some lives in this building, you're haunted by the failure that waits others. And you feel like, God, what's going to happen to me? What's going to take place in my life? I want to tell you something. And can I inject what I was going to preach right here? God does have ravens that will take care of the man or the woman of God that'll fear God. While Saul's confidence spoke in volumes of, I don't need God. I don't need your help. I don't need nothing or nobody. And I don't mean to call names. How many men in this building do I have that's been in the military? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 men. Outside of mail coming here, some of the things I'm going to say this morning, if you've been coming here at length, you're going to hear me repeat what I've repeated before anybody's new ever come here. Come on here. Self-confidence is oftentimes born in the military force that you're invincible and nobody can stop you. You are the elite of the elite. You stand above head and shoulders tall than anybody around you. You cannot be defeated. You cannot be overcome. You cannot be destroyed. And you cannot be torn down because you're the best. Come on here. I want to preach a little contrast here. Military versus hell. Too much alike. It lies and tells the weak that they're strong. Without the power of making a man strong from the inside out, outside strength only reveals a short-lived victory, but inside determination makes a man stand upright, and it's only born out of God. It's only born out of heaven. You're not a warrior by nature. You're a warrior by the chosen power of the Son of God. God, hear me in this building. I must tell you that the fear that's in your life is because of your own confidence. The world says, show no fear. Show no fear. Show none. And I'm going to get carnal right here. Is that okay for just a minute? There's not a more nauseating man or woman to me is somebody who tries to act like they ain't battling nothing. I'm strong enough to handle this. I don't need you. I don't need nobody. I can handle this all by myself. Come on here now. I'm strong. You see, my face is like flint. My feelings are like stone. My heart is hard as a rock. The passion of movement that is born out of heaven never softens your hardness. It never breaks down your will. Hear me preach to you just a minute. I may have it by myself, but here we are. There was a time when Samuel could preach and Saul would weep, but it soon reached a place to where Saul could preach and Samuel knew nothing. I mean, Samuel could preach and Saul knew nothing but Buck Samuel. Come on now. Hear me in this building. The tragedy of the hard face is that it reveals the inside of man. Man says, there's nothing wrong inside of me. Have anybody ever heard anybody say that? Ain't nothing wrong with me. It's what's wrong with y'all. Come on now. If I'm talking what you've been saying, you better perk up and realize there's a God that's listening to you. Huh? Ain't nothing wrong with me. It's what's wrong with y'all. I'm all right. You ever heard anybody say that? I don't need you. I'm okay. Y'all do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. And we're going to be all right. But can I tell you the tragedy is when Cain slew Abel, the Bible says that the Lord came down and he asked, where is Abel? But when God began to question the life of Cain, it was the countenance of Cain that fell to the bottom. It was the countenance of Cain that revealed the guilt of the inside. It was the countenance
descendants of Cain have revealed the shame of a tragedy that had took place in his life. I must tell you in this building, if you don't pray through, it'll be shame on you.
It'll be shame on you. I feel the Holy Ghost every time I say it. You don't pray through, it's going to be shame on you. It's going to be shame. I was there in the palace. I could have had it, but I chose to fight against it. I stood there in the presence of an almighty God that was strong enough, big enough, and able enough to deliver me from the will of myself. But I chose to demise my own life. I read the story concerning the life of Elvis Presley. He made this statement. The last recorded song that he sung and wrote about, he called for a man by the name of Stanley to come in and sit down and to dictate the report and to tell concerning his life. It was almost, the writer said, as if Elvis knew something was about to take place in his life that he didn't know how to stop. The last recorded song was Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. You know what he wrote that song for? Huh? That song was wrote strictly for Lisa Marie. That song was wrote on the behalf of her because he knew he was a dying man. He knew addiction had a hold of him and he wasn't able to stop it. And he turned and looked at Stanley. He said, poor Lisa Marie. What is she going to do when she reads the story of how my life really is? What is she going to act like when she finds out that the hero on the stage is a failure behind the closet? What is she going to do with all the trophies that I've won, and out of every song that was sung, just about it was recorded, and almost every song he penned, it went to the charts. It became gold labels. It became hot spots across the world. That was the trophy that everybody saw. But on the inside of the palace, there was a tragedy of a soul shaken to pieces. I used to have it, but I ain't got it no more. It's gone out of my life. I'm utterly destroyed by my own confidence. I'm strong enough to get it. I'm strong enough to obtain it. And now it's a beast in my own life. He wrote the song Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. He told the story. He said, I know some of you ex-Elvis listeners. He said, I know that when I turned to walk away, we'd never meet again. He told Lisa Marie, is that her name? I'm remembering it right. Told her when he saw her for the last time, goodbye. And he went off to go to concert. His last stage in song stand was in Indianapolis, Indiana. He come home. And as he drove home, and he got home, melancholy by life, melancholy by torment of success, it wasn't soothing, but tormenting. What you going to do? What you going to do when the success of yourself becomes the torment of yourself? What you going to do when success becomes a tormentor? What you going to do when you've arrived, preacher man, at the high spot of your knowledge and strength. Don't come to me after church. I'm fixing to say something. And I'm telling you, don't call me. Don't ask me. A preacher friend of mine that was in this meeting called the name of a preacher that's in this church. And he said, "Why does that man stand so prideful?" He said, "Why does that man act so confident? Why does that man feel like he's strong enough without anybody?" I said, "I've tried to preach it out of that preacher, but I can't get it out. Tried to get it out of that person, but I can't get it out." The tragedy of life is that when he penned down the last words, he tried to sow with confidence. "We'll go somewhere to a land where there'll be no clouds, there'll be no rain. There'll be no blue eyes crying in the rain." But today in hell, from 1977 until this present day, there's a man named the King who's in the bottomless pit, who remembers every song he sung. "I did it my way. I did it the way I wanted to do it. I did it how I liked it. I didn't have to ask nobody how I liked it. I done it because I liked it." Okay, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Nobody has to tell me when Frank Sinatra wrote that French song, begin to pin it together and tell. Elvis picked it up. He said, "This is me." He said, "I've had my share of regrets. I've had my share of failure. I've had my share." But in the midst of all of his singing, he never one time ever let conviction seethe him and say, "You're doing it your way. But your way's the wrong way. Oh, I feel like preaching this way. I didn't choose to preach like this. But I must tell somebody in this building." In one night, the man made the statement. He said, "We were sitting in a motel room," and said, "blown out of his mind, tore up, could not ever get his mind completely at peace. He was restless all of his days. Restless every day. Restless every night. He would go in rages of fit. You ever seen anybody that one day they're calm and they're nice, and then the next day they're out of control. Their nature's gone. I tell you, you're just one step from being taken over by the hand of the devil. You're just one step from being taken over by the power of hell. Somebody better wake up and help me. You say it's Sunday morning. It's after camp meeting. It's dark outside. It's raining. But I come to tell you, in this house, your confidence, it's going to become your noose. It's going to become what destroys your life. It's going to be what speaks in volumes to you in your own failure. When the last stanza of that story was wrote, they said Elvis turned himself away and wept not over Jackie. I believe that was her name. Wasn't that her name? His wife? What was it? Priscilla, I meant. He never wept over Priscilla. He wept over Lisa Marie. Oh, I feel God. There's not a cold-hearted man walking in shoes than a man that hates his own spouse. We're in a messed up world, you hear me? Listen to me. We're in a mixed up world.